Vet nurses and vet techs can probably relate to this scenario. The dog has just completed its surgery and it is in recovery. You are on your hands and knees with your head in the cage trying to get its temperature, heart rate and respiration rate. Get your boss to listen to the latest episode of the Vet Podcast. It may change your life. I receive a lot of approaches from companies and individuals to discuss their products, but usually steer away from them as I don't want to become an infomercial podcast. However, I received an email from a company recently about a monitoring device which potentially has big benefits for animals, veterinarians, and animal owners alike.
My name is Kevin Mayer. I'm founder and CEO of a company called VetMeasure based in Ames, Iowa.
You are listening to the Vet Podcast, presented by veterinarian Dr. Brian Greger from New Zealand. Join us as we discuss pet health issues from around the world.
Kevin, this probably sounds like a question that one of the dragons from Dragon's Den would ask, but can you first up just explain your product?
We came up with a technology that is a wearable device for measuring dogs, their vitals, their key vitals. Our main focus has been able to have uninterrupted continuous monitoring that's non-invasive and can push the data to an app.
As a rule, animals which are in surgery are very closely monitored. There is a large number of available monitoring bits of equipment that are used. Now, I'm assuming that your gear is aimed mainly at the post-op or the post-anesthetic period?
Yes. Our first focus has been to be able to help a patient that is going into the recovery stage. They're becoming awake. Their anesthesia is wearing, you know, they're coming out of that phase. And so we're able to monitor their temperature. Hypothermia is a big issue when animals come awake from surgery. We're measuring their heart rate, respiratory rate, also their ECG. We can actually get ECG pattern on the dogs too.
Without the benefit of your monitoring gear, how are most practices now doing this really important job of post-anesthetic or post-operative monitoring?
What we're finding is that many practices that are animals that are coming out of surgery and coming awake, they'll assign a tech to manually do a rectal. Also, they're measuring a respiratory rate. They can use a stethoscope oftentimes for heart rate. So we're finding that there's a need for a tech to be available and to be able to do it on a routine basis so that all patients in that practice are closely observed. There are some cases where there's equipment that's rather expensive that can be connected to an animal, but that's more in the before they're awake. So they're stationary, laying down. So that's an alternative, but typically once they come awake, then it's going to require more of a manual intervention to monitor that animal's progress.
You were referring to your equipment, which I think you call Measuron, as a harness. So there must be contact somewhere between the equipment and the animal?
With our wearable harness, they're going around the just behind the front legs of the animal, in that thoracic cavity, so we're close to the heart. We're close to the lungs, and our axillary region is the area right underneath the armpits of the dog, which we conducted a study with Colorado State University Vet College to confirm that the axillary readings that our product is producing is within 1 degree Fahrenheit of rectal, and rectal is the national accepted standard. So we're very pleased with the consistency, with the location that we're getting the readings. We have 4 sensors per side underneath each arm, armpit, and we're able to transmit that data, again, real time to the app, and we can read it every X number of seconds or minutes and report that.
I have heard of similar-ish kinds of products which are actually working from a collar. Obviously, you're going for a harness. I assume you've tried a collar in the past. Why have you gone with a harness?
We started with a collar, and our research studies at the vet school, after a period of time, we learned that heart rate, respiratory rate, when you're trying to simulate what's going on in that thoracic cavity closer to the organs, is much more of a challenge. And so ultimately in the temperature as well. So when we experimented with our first prototype for a harness, again, around the thoracic cavity, we learned that the collar just wasn't, even with quite a few modifications to the collar and the sensors and the algorithms, that we were just much, much more confident in the data, and it was much more reliable, much more consistent with our new location around the thoracic cavity.
How do animals take to wearing the harness if they haven't had a harness on before?
Well, fortunately, there's more and more harnesses being used, so it's not totally strange for a lot of dogs to have a harness put on them, but there are some that will be a little bit more. Our dog, for example, was pretty irritated to have any kind of a harness on it because we didn't use a harness on our dog. For the most part, we've not had a big resistance from practices that are using our product, and they'll take care of putting the harness on and helping acclimate the animal before they actually want to start taking readings, so that they know that it's adjusted, comfortable. And we do have small, medium, and large, and we have straps that have the red is too tight, yellow is in the medium range, and green is where you'd want it. So we have the color combinations to make sure that the fit is correct on the animal, as well as the number of inches for chest circumference matches the right harness size.
Can you put the harness on a cat, Kevin?
We get that question a lot. And there's certainly a lot of cats out there that have health issues, but not yet. We have focused on canine at the moment.
One of the things that we need to do, particularly in this litigious environment that we all seem to find ourselves working in now, is to actually keep a record of this sort of information in case something does go wrong and someone takes a crack at you. Is there a way with your Measure On gear that this can actually be recorded and inputted into the computer systems, the PMSs that we're using?
To answer your question, that's our plan. We just signed an NDA. We've got with a major practice management software company for working toward an integration stage with them. And others have interest, and telehealth companies have interest in working with us. In the interim, we do have the ability to produce a patient report. So the veterinarian would be able to have a PDF of the vitals for that patient during a whatever period of time they want to select. So they would have the ability to print out and have the actual graphic representation of that animal during a 2-hour, 4-hour, 12-hour period.
So I'm looking now, Kevin, at other potential uses for this equipment. One of them that comes to mind, you mentioned the ECG function, and I guess it's not going to happen until you get a proper recording going through to a PMS or somewhere. Holter harnesses, when we're treating dogs with cardiac arrhythmias or like with the heartbeats, which are going a bit wonky, the gold standard is to put a thing called a Holter harness on them, which is measuring over a period of time what's happening with the heart frequency or the beating frequency, because when an arrhythmia occurs, it doesn't always conveniently happen when you put the stethoscope on the dog. It happens maybe only once or twice a day. Is there the possibility with your gear now or in future to be able to be used as an arrhythmia detecting device?
Yes, our ECG patterns, veterinarians have been very impressed with the detail, and to be able to identify arrhythmia incident and other type of patterns that they were unaware of, especially with a cardiac patient, surgery patient. So this this has been very great interest, increasing interest as veterinarians learn more about how, if it's on for an hour, 2 hours, again, a longer period of time, what's the length of time they need to have it on the animal to be able to detect just what you were stating.
Probably looking at other non-in-clinic uses, for the want of a better term. I mean, I'm just looking locally around here. We're a farming nation. There's a lot of particularly sheepdogs which are working in some fairly rough country. The temperature's quite variable. It gets very hot. It gets very cold. Heat exhaustion is certainly a possibility. Is it possible to use your gear for detecting things like heat exhaustion, early signs of illness, maybe even whelping. One of the things that occurs when a bitch whelps is that their temperature will drop by a degree or so Celsius when they're imminently whelping or having their puppies. There are other uses that you can foresee that this could be used for?
Yes, actually, glad you brought up the heat stress, heat stroke issue. Our patent has that as a key claims for heat stress, heat stroke warning, because we're measuring the surface temperature, the actual axillary temperature as the dog, which I mentioned is within 1 degree Fahrenheit of rectal, but also we're able to measure the ambient temperature and ambient humidity and contrast that to the actual body temperature, and it will produce a heat stress, heat stroke type warning. So that, along with the heart rate and respiratory rate changes that accompany that kind of an event, would give that warning in advance. Your second question was really about whelping. We haven't gone that far yet, but we know that there are some other conditions. So if we can see a change that would indicate that whelping is within X number of minutes or hours, that's something that we definitely want to research. We know that our technology can do that, can do those measurements. It's just a matter of, you know, having the case studies to support that. And also, the big thing about our product is that we're able to have the ability to be forewarned that a temperature spike is occurring, you know, before clinical signs occur. If there's any kind of issue that animal comes into ER and there's a treatment that's given, what's the outcomes of that treatment? And is it having an impact on that patient, or is it not having an impact that was expected?
I suppose this is probably stating the obvious a little bit, but I would assume if it was being used on hunting dogs or working dogs that are miles away from anywhere, they would need to have either mighty strong Bluetooth or Wi-Fi capability, which I don't think really exists these days, or cell phone coverage or something. There's got to be some way to connect to the device, I would assume.
Yes, for the outdoor dogs, and that's the next stage we'll be working on, is the wearable for active dogs. We do have the Bluetooth connectivity today, and if the actual device or monitoring device goes out of range of Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, we have a battery within the system, so we'll continue to record the data, and then it will upload it when it gets back in range.
Are the harnesses waterproof?
Yes, we have built waterproof harnesses, and we've gone through the validation process with independent laboratories to confirm. We know that dogs are going to jump into water potentially, and in the vet practice, you want to be able to clean it and disinfect it between patients. So yes, we have made that happen.
Another thing, we've got a number of pig hunting clients around here, and they head up goodness knows where into the bush. And their dogs get lost in gullies and disappear. There are devices around which have got location beacon type things on them, GPS recorders. Is there any thought in future of adding something like that into the harness as well so that people can locate their animals?
Yes, we've got that in our plans for the active harness as we move outside the vet practice. Of course, within a vet practice and for at-home monitoring, it's not as critical, but the examples you just gave, yeah, certainly we want to be able to provide that as a feature.
The vets own these products, or do you lease them, or do the owners buy them?
The way we have it set up today is that the veterinary practices are purchasing the harnesses, then they would be renting or reselling the harness. So it may go home with the patient for 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, and perhaps the vet practice would have a rental fee or have it included in the cost of surgery for X number of hours or days so that patient will continue to have real-time monitoring during recovery. We also are looking at how can we make sure that the vet practice is the educator of the device, and so that the pet owner realizes that they've got a local contact that can help explain how it works and how, you know, the highs and lows for temperature, respiratory, heart rate are preset, so the owner doesn't need to worry about setting those ranges. And if they go out of range, then the vet practice is notified through the app, through the web app, at 24/7. And if they want the vet practice wants the owner to be notified, then they can give them access too.
I was talking about innovation in general to Sean Wilkie a month or so ago. He's got a podcast called the Veterinary Innovation Podcast. One of the things that he was mentioning there, as far as what's happening in vet practice at the moment, is, and it may be a little bit of a dirty word, is this big data phenomena where you have got larger vet practices in particular, the big corporates who are collecting their data and then extrapolating out of that data treatment protocols and sequelae of whatever they're doing. I would assume that if the information is able to be downloaded out of your gear for a practice or a group of practices, and then it was somehow to be related back to what procedure was undertaken or what drugs were used, there's got to be an advantage in that in the bigger picture.
Absolutely. As we gain more and more data for, you know, if you're looking at a specific procedure by breed, age, weight, you look at all the different criteria, what's the response and outcomes data related to this treatment versus treatment A versus B versus C for that specific category and that's, you know, a specific case. So maybe it's a respiratory issue, it's a pneumonia issue that came in, and so they were, it was a Labrador that was 2 years old that's very healthy but got a respiratory issue. How did they respond versus a obese, 14-year-old Great Dane that was treated with the same product? So it's just a matter of, you know, gaining that data over time that can make sense and help guide some decision-making.
Again, I'm looking in future with potential areas that this sort of equipment, not even necessarily your gear, could go into. And I'm sort of thinking of things like Star Trek, where Bones used to wave that monitor machine, that scanner over a chip or something, and he would find out what's wrong with you. Do you see a future for gear like yours for things like detecting blood glucose? I'm thinking at the moment there are things like the Libra blood glucose monitors, other biochemical parameters, maybe progesterone monitoring for breeding bitches and things like that. How far can you take your equipment as far as these other monitorings go?
Yeah, there's certainly a deep list of metrics that we could measure. And it's a matter of, we don't want to make the product too complex to start with. We want to have it so that the veterinary practice can put it on, the animal owner can put it on, and they've got specific parameters that they're concerned about that they want to measure. Maybe they're more interested in temperature and heart rate, not so much interested in respiratory or ECG or activity or ambient conditions. And so it's just a matter of us progressing, but those are very good examples of where we could go down the road based on trajectory of our business and as we get deeper into the practice needs versus a active dog need.
We mentioned the working dogs, the hunting dogs, the dogs out in the environment earlier. One area that I could foresee maybe it might be useful would be like performance animals, racing greyhounds, race horses, those sort of animals. Is your equipment sort of scalable? Like, does the technology work? You just put bigger straps on them so that it fits around a horse's chest or something. How far can this go?
Yeah, the basic configuration is certainly adaptable to other species. And our goal, my background, I'm a farm boy raised on a dairy farm and spent most of my career working with livestock species, dairy calves, beef calves, dairy cows, as well as horses. And but the swine was a big part of my career. So I know that there's other species that have interest in what we're doing. So yes, our product is certainly adaptable to other size of configurations of animals. And so once you build the product with the sensors and the algorithms, the methodology for getting that data pushed to an app and then doing the big data analysis, definitely we can move on to, and we do plan on moving on to additional species with the base of canine to start with.
Now, I'm going to put you right on the spot here, Kevin, and I know that we've actually had a whole podcast on this question, but where do you see in the next 5 or 10 years the technology in veterinary practice just generally going?
I think there's You know, since we've all experienced and have many examples of what's happened during the pandemic with curbside services and more interest in how do veterinarians find a way to receive patient vitals remotely and actually have some kind of a methodology to have observation, meaningful observations and meaningful data on patients that are unable to come in for whatever reason. And of course, the VCPR rules are very important to follow. But there's a way to provide some remote monitoring so that they can decide on this: does this animal need to come into the practice or not? I think that's one big thing that will happen in the future. I just think that the automation of data within a veterinary practice, in techs coming in that embrace that technology and have used it before the vet school or use it in their tech training program, I just really see that starting to gain momentum. And we've seen multiple examples of that in the software world too.
A lot of food for thought here, particularly on the future of monitoring devices in veterinary practice. If you would like more information on Kevin's gear, which is called Measure On, I will put a link on our website, which if you will remember is vetpodcast.weebly.com, linking back to Kevin's website.
To find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, just search at Vet Podcast and like us while you are there. Subscribe to us on your usual podcast player, and if you enjoyed the podcast, please rate us on your player and share us with your friends. Our website is vetpodcast.weebly.com. Weebly is Weebly. Or email vetpodcast@gmail.com.